All right, we do the actual podcast now.
Okay.
I'd like to give the world a Coke and keep it company. That's the song I'd sing. Coke Zero has zero calories and tastes almost exactly like normal Coke.
It's true.
Fascinating. Podcast for March 5th, 2011. This is Mike Minotti. I'm joined by my brother, Rajguy.
Yo.
And we're going to do our show right now.
Yes. I hope.
So we're going to start with the news. Excuse me.
Amateur hour.
This is my alarm. Not a phone call. We're going to start with the news. Let's do the GDC stuff. Not off to a good start, are we?
No.
Yeah. So going to start with the news. Move on to, let's go topical, our week in gaming. I'm going to talk about the Pokemans, which I've been playing. Then we'll do the releases, and that'll be the show. So let's get going.
Okay. Let's start off first with the iPad 2 announcement. Apple had their big unveil of it this past Wednesday. Here's the quick rundown of what's different from the iPad 1. It's really thin, like thinner than an iPhone 4. It has their A5 processor, which is twice as powerful as the old one. They said, like, six times the performance in gaming, actually. It's a better graphics processor, not just a better processor in general.
Six times sounds like a lot, but...
I know. Yeah. Well, people have got the hands on it that said this thing is really fast. So that's cool. It has, like, the gyroscope that the iPhone 4 has in it, so you get better motion controls in the games. It's got the front and rear-facing cameras for FaceTime. They're going to be releasing GarageBand for this thing. GarageBand will work on the old iPads as well.
What does that mean? How's GarageBand going to work?
It has like all the virtual instruments, like bending, like playing guitar and bending the strings, or just tapping on drum pads and things like that.
Okay.
Right. Let's see. The photo booth is the other app they're going to be releasing too on the 11th. When this thing comes out, March 11th. The really cool thing that it does, I kind of like the best, is this cover they have for it. It's like these magnetic hinges that just automatically snap into place on the left side. When it covers the system, it actually puts it to sleep. When you open it, it automatically wakes it up. And it does like this weird trifold thing to become like a stand. It's really cool. You have to just go see the video about it. They also announced iOS 4.3, which is coming out on the 11th, which for iPhone 4 and 3GS users is going to let you use your iPhone as like a mobile hotspot if you get the plan from AT&T. It's going to be adding better AirPlay support, so other apps can use AirPlay now with the Apple TV, and like the videos that you've taken with the iPhone 4 can now be shown on Air display, which wasn't possible before. There was another big thing in iOS 4.3 that I didn't want to forget about, and I'm forgetting it. Oh yeah, home sharing. You can stream your iTunes music to your iPad or iPhone, only if you're on the same Wi-Fi network though. But that's cool.
I guess so.
Yeah. So yeah, it comes out March 11th, same pricing scheme as the old iPads. The old iPads are all $100 cheaper while supplies last. There you go.
Oh, that's very exciting, I guess.
I could tell. Here, I'll try to pep you up a bit. Let's talk about Iwata's keynote at GDC.
Okie dokie.
Now, I'll get into that first. Let me go through the big things we learned at this keynote coming from Nintendo in the near future. The big thing, of course, was that they revealed a new Mario game for the 3DS coming this, actually, they didn't say a date, never mind.
Let's say they're going to show more at E3.
Yeah. It's done by the Galaxy team. Doesn't look like it's a Galaxy game, though, from the very little they showed. I mean, it looks more like a traditional 3D Mario game.
Yeah, it looks almost like Mario 64, too.
Yeah.
With a lot of Mario 3 influence.
Yeah, the logo has the raccoon tail on it, so I'm sure that'll be making an appearance. The big thing that they seem to stress is how, like, the problem in 3D platformers is always depth perception and how the 3DS solves that.
Right.
I'm sure it'll be quite good.
Oh, yeah. The Galaxy team? Are you kidding me?
Yeah. I'm excited.
This is already my most anticipated 3DS game now.
Yeah.
Even the four screenshots that they show look great.
I know. They really do.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm totally psyched for that. Hell's yes. I'm just glad that, like, the the Mario game isn't just going to be New Super Mario Brothers 3DS.
Yeah.
God, it's easy.
Which I'm sure is also coming.
Sure. I'm glad that this is happening also.
Yeah. Let's see. They announced that in the 3DS's Virtual Console will also be getting Game Gear games and TurboGrafx-16 games.
Very nice.
That's kind of cool.
Is it going to get Virtual Boy games?
That'd be awesome.
Like, why not?
That'd be so cool. Just to do it, you know?
There's some good games on that thing. Give me that Wario game.
Teller Boxer Wario Land is an excellent game.
Oh, yeah.
The tennis game was good.
I liked Mario Clash.
Yeah, there were some good games in that thing.
Come on.
That nobody played.
Yeah, do it. Get on.
Let's see. They've announced Netflix support for the 3DS.
That's so interesting.
That won't come till this summer. I think it's kind of expected anymore. Like, you know, it's a Wi-Fi enabled media device that has Netflix. Like, isn't that kind of de rigueur now?
I don't know. I guess I'm not used to having this stuff on my handheld system.
Yeah.
Like PSP and DS didn't do that, right?
No,
I'm still not so jaded. I'm not thinking it's cool.
I wonder if did they say the NGP would? I'm sure it will.
Right, probably. Let's assume.
Let's see. They're partnering with AT&T for 3DS hotspots. They're bringing a short-term video service to the 3DS, and they'll also be having like 3D movie trailers for download and stuff.
I don't understand this 3DS hotspot thing. So isn't any hotspot a 3DS?
Yeah,
hotspot?
it's just branding.
Yeah, I was about to say. I don't understand what that means. Mm-hmm. So basically, AT&T just. Are they just adding hotspots, or are they just saying that they already have hotspots? I don't understand.
Yeah, it's advertising. That's what I'm going to say. Here's an AT&T hotspot. Hook in with your Nintendo 3DS. Register trademark.
I just don't understand how that was even like an announcement. There are hotspots. Okay.
Now let me pick your brain this, because I've been reading, and some people are actually kind of upset that Iwata's keynote was less of a keynote and more of a press conference.
I guess. People were saying that.
I mean, Reggie Fils-Aimé came out halfway through to announce product. That's not a keynote.
It was kind of a keynote still.
Well, I mean, the whole, you know, GDC is supposed to be all about developers getting together, talking shop, and all that stuff. I mean, the only, like, shop talking he did was, like, basically say games need to be more innovative, so work hard and eat your vegetables.
I mean, he said it. He did a lot of, there's a lot of story in the beginning, him talking about some things.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I liked what you did on Bitmob. They revealed the original name for Kirby before they picked Kirby. It was Tinkle Popo.
Mm-hmm.
Your cover looked really good. I saw that at first, and I was like, oh, they released a cover art, too. I was like, nope, Mike made that.
No, thank you. I'm an expert. But you know what? Some journalists, though, they want... I'm a little annoyed because they're... At the same time that they're featuring live blogs of the event and doing 12 stories of it on their website, they're complaining about how it's not a keynote and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they can't have it both ways. It's one thing that people complain about it, and I'm like, okay, so maybe it's not. Why are you that upset about it? I don't know. It seemed plenty keynote-y to me still.
Okay.
Look, they knew people were watching. It's not like they announced much. Really, the only thing we saw was, like, 4 images of the new Mario game and a new Zelda trailer.
Did you say the trailer? Did they release it?
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't seen it yet.
What? You haven't? How? What? No? Of course they released it.
I wasn't sure. Well, so, you know, sometimes it's like, oh, there was a trailer at E3, but...
That's Square Enix.
It's not for the public yet. Yeah, that's true. You're right.
Square Enix does.
Hey, here's our marketing thing. We could just put this on the internet for everyone to watch, but we'd rather you guys write about it.
Yeah. People's imaginations take over.
Okay, so, you good there?
I am good.
All right. I'm just going to, like, there's GDC stuff peppered throughout the news, so I'll just... kind of hit this up.
Sure thing.
Did you see Ubisoft's announcement of We Dare?
That's not coming here?
Yeah. They put out this trailer. I mean, it's basically a sex party game for Wii and PlayStation Move.
Right.
You look at this, you're like, huh? What?
Well, the problem is that they rated it like for 13 ages and plus. Like, what?
Well, yeah, that's in Europe. They're more sexually liberal over there.
Yes, apparently.
Yes. But yeah, and then like a day later, they're immediately like, oh, This is not for America. We wouldn't even think of it. Like, it's like they're embarrassed by it. It's like, why did you make it?
They're, like, weirded out by it. I don't know. You know, it's weird, because part of me always thinks, as much as there's a controversy, why not release it in America?
Because, like, kids will buy it, and, like, high school parties will be playing We Dare, and they'll be licking each other, and some mom is going to freak the fuck out.
I guess so. It's the same that you can't actually market a video game to adults without being murdered for by the press and stuff, because I feel like there might actually be a market for that, but...
Oh, it totally would be.
But whatever.
Yeah. What are you going to do? Let's see. Sony's dropping prices like they're insane. The PSP...
How insane are they, AJ?
So
like
insane.
Crazy.
Yes. The PSP 3000 has been dropped to $130. That is also in effect at retail and everywhere. The PSP Go, like, Sony dropped it on their website to $150, but no one else has yet to. That may come this coming Sunday once, like, everyone's ads
reset. I still understand how the PSP Go is more expensive than the 3000 still.
Yeah.
The 3000 has more features.
Well, it's got the memory built into it, and there's Bluetooth. I don't know. I mean, honestly, the funny thing is, given the way how the NGP is going to only be backwards compatible with the PSP for downloaded titles, it almost helps make the PSP Go a little more attractive.
I mean, if
because that's now the future proof one.
Yeah, kind of, but you still can't download all the games anyways.
Yeah, I know that is the problem.
When I get NGP, I'm not gonna be worried about. Oh, I hope I can play all my great PSP games on this thing.
That is true.
So don't worry about that.
Oh, you're funny.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. How would you like a free on live micro console?
No.
Do you want to play Homefront?
No.
Does a free copy of Metro 2033 appeal to you?
No.
Then you should probably not pre-order Homefront on OnLive, or you would get all these things.
You would get all these things. No.
All right.
Okay.
So it is kind of a cool offer. Like, buy a $50 game, we give you another game in our micro console for free, if you were interested.
What the hell's Homefront?
I've been trying to read up on it because it's THQ's most pre-ordered game to date. It looks interesting. It's the guys who made that game Frontline Fuel of War. Remember them? And before that, they made the Desert Combat mod.
Yeah.
This is kind of their first attempt at a true single-player experience. The basic conceit of the game is it's set in, like, the 2020s. North Korea has become a world superpower. They've taken over most of Asia, and they launched this satellite that they told the world was, like, this, like, peace-giving communication device that turned out to be a giant EMP weapon.
Dang it.
They disable the West Coast and invade, and you're, like, just... part of the, like, freedom fighters who were, like, just normal U.S. citizens trying to take back their country.
Yeah, the game had this huge presence at E3, but as far as I could tell, you couldn't play it anywhere. They're just posters and, like, a fake, like, internment camp.
Well, did you see what their GDC stunt was that went terribly awry?
No.
So, are you familiar with the South Korean protests where they got to the border and released a bunch of balloons that then floated into North Korea?
No.
Okay, well, that happened.
Okay.
So, in a homage, if that... Turn your damn phone off.
All right.
What they did was they had, like, fake protests of North Korea at GDC, and then in solidarity, they released 10,000 red balloons. These balloons had GameStop ads on them about the pre-order bonuses. Well, it was a rainy day in San Francisco. All the balloons got wet and immediately fell into the San Francisco Bay.
Oh.
Which, as you can imagine, pissed off a lot of people.
Right.
So they're all mad at GameStop and THQ. What does GameStop do, like, right away? We had no knowledge of this. We did not sanction this. This was all THQ's idea.
Like, wasn't us.
P.S. Please pre-order Homefront.
Right. No, we didn't do it.
And then THQ came out. They're like, they're completely biodegradable, and we will work to clean up the blah, 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 blah. It's like, yeah, you guys are stupid.
Like, oh, our solidarity, like, oh,
How could this have failed?
I like that. Like, oh, it's about our solidarity, about peace and stuff. And also pre-ordering the home fronts.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
So that was fun.
Sounds like it.
Let's see. Where did I... Oh, there I am. We went on a tangent there. Florence and the Machine will be giving a track to Dragon Age 2.
Who?
You don't know who Florence and the Machine is? She...
No.
It's this woman, she's Welsh or something. She's got a really good voice, but I can't understand a damn word she's saying. It's one of those. Like her voice is like a good instrument, but I don't know what she's saying when she sings.
Like, what kind of song is he... Is it like Liliana's song?
Well, I don't know. Like, they're taking one of her songs called I'm Not Calling You a Liar, and they're recomposing it to sound more medieval. And it's Varric's theme, the dwarf who's telling the story.
All right.
Yeah. I mean, I listened to the song. It's a good song.
That's cool. That's fine with me.
Let's see. Hey, remember Sonic the Hedgehog 4, Episode 1?
Yeah, where the hell is Episode 2?
It's in early development.
Early development?
Yeah.
What? I expected it to be in late development or almost done.
Yeah, you would think. Well, they've promised they're going to fix a lot of things for Episode 1. They've heard the complaints loud and clear.
Like, what are they going to fix?
They didn't really say. I would imagine...
People always say shit like that. Like, our sequel's going to be much better.
Yeah, we're going to fix all the problems.
Easier said than done.
Hopefully they would take, like, I know one of the problems with the game, and even I had this to an extent, was how you would, like jumping had no momentum. If you, like, jumped and then let go of the movement button, you just stopped, which is not how Sonic ever played. So, like, maybe they'll fix that. I know people complained about, like, how Sonic looked like he was glowing. He had, like, that weird shine to him, so maybe they'll fix that.
I wish they used sprites and actually made it look retro.
Yeah, I know. It worked for Mega Man.
It did.
So we'll see what happens there. But yeah, I was kind of wondering. I was like, what? Wasn't there supposed to be more of these?
Right. I still wish it just... I don't know. I don't think Sonic the Hedgehog 4 needs to be episodic, but whatever.
Yeah. Do you use your computer on your TV to play games on Steam?
No.
Well, this isn't for you.
Clearly, as a lot of these things today aren't.
No. Valve is announcing a big picture mode, which is basically like a TV-optimized interface for Steam that you can navigate with a controller. Some people are rumbling that this might be the precursor of, like, full-blown Steam on the PS3 as well, which would be kind of cool.
Right. Or a Steam console.
Oh, man. No.
Micro console. I don't think that happened.
Let's see. Then Valve unveiled at GDC their new Steam Guard technology for advanced security. You familiar with this?
I heard a little bit. I heard that Gabe Newell, like, gave out his password.
Yes, this is how confident he is in this. Basically, it uses some new Intel technology that's built into their new processors, so you have to have the right hardware. But it's a way of tying your Steam account to specific computers so that, like, short of someone breaking into your home and getting on your computer, they can't hack your Steam account. So he actually gave out his username and password at GDC. It was like, you can't hack my account. Go ahead, try. And as far as I know, no one has. So it works.
I guess so. Well, I mean, would he say if somebody did? Like, oh, you guys got me.
I'm sure whoever hacked it would.
Sure, but that could be disproven or called fake.
True.
I could Photoshop an image and say I hacked the Cave Newell's account.
You should do that.
No.
Okay. let's see. LG has won their injunction in Europe against Sony, and no more PS3s can enter the country. Or, the continent.
The continent. Seems like a problem.
Yeah. They said they got about 2 weeks of supply left in current stores, and once those are gone, they won't be able to get resupplied until this injunction's figured out. Basically, LG is suing Sony for some Blu-ray tech or something.
Well, about like that time with Logitech, isn't it?
With yeah.
The controller.
Yeah.
Sony needs to stop stealing things, I guess.
Yeah, that'd be good for them.
You know.
All right, so let's go back to a week and a half ago when Atlus came out and said that they have no immediate plans to release Catherine in the United States. Flash forward to, like, 4 days later. It's like, yes, Catherine's coming out in America in summer 2011.
Like, a lot of people were excited and stuff. I guess they kind of got over the fact that Atlus just lied to us originally.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I guess I kind of get. Like, I say that, but I'm not that indignant about it. I kind of get it. If you can have a surprise or something announced, then I guess you would lie at all costs to keep it a surprise. It sounded like they actually wanted to do more of the announcement because, like, they sent, like, this picture.
Like, do you still like us or something?
Right.
It's like, huh?
And then, like, GameStop just, like, listed
it.
Yeah. And they're like,
it's amazing me how many game release dates and announcements get blown by GameStop posting a listing.
I think they're like,
it's just like, don't send anything to GameStop yet.
Don't
just
tell
wait.
Them. They'll be
as
fine.
As soon as you tell, like, I could, if I were like Bob Activision, I could call them right now and be like, oh, by the way, we have this game coming out, like, you know, September 26th, just FYI. And 5 minutes later, there will be a pre-order page on GameStop.com with pre-order bonuses and a trade-in deal. Like, they act fast. You don't have to, like, give them advance notice.
Right. Like, they'll get it together. They understand. Yes. I don't know. I mean, I had to go to GameStop today.
Okay.
Speaking of which, I have to cancel pre-order and move it to something else. Sorry, this is, I didn't mean to talk about business, but you just reminded me about it. Let's move on.
Okay, Michael, it's a very, very sad day.
I guess I used my full name. What's wrong?
Panasonic has canceled the Jungle handheld.
Dear God, why? Take me instead. Not the Jungle handheld.
For those of you who
that was supposed
forget,
to play MMOs.
Yes, it was a handheld with a little keyboard and some weird screen, and it was going to play MMOs on the go. How could this idea have failed, Nick?
Man, I wish they made that. Man, that makes so much sense.
The thing is, you know there's someone out there with a Jungle prototype who's like playing WoW on that thing. It's like, I don't understand why this didn't work.
This is so brilliant. I'm playing to WoWs anywhere. The Jungle. I bet, man... too bad to dink about it. I bet there would have been a lot of great commercials. Welcome to the Jungle.
Oh, yeah, they already did that.
Oh, really? That's probably why they called it the Jungle.
That was part of their announcement. Yeah, it's Welcome to the Jungle.
That's why you call it that. We call it that so that we can have an easy marketing campaign. Always a good reason to name something.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Let's see. What's next? So, I love this. The team behind the hit indie RPG game Magicka.
Oh, God.
Have announced their first expansion. Magicka Vietnam. This may be the greatest thing ever.
That's hilarious.
You basically take the wizards from Magicka, put them in Kevlar jackets and mortar helmets, and put them in Vietnam War. It's great.
That is
funny. Even have like the poster art that is like a spoof off of all the Battlefield covers.
Right.
But it's like a wizard. It's hilarious too, because all those Battlefield covers, the guys always have some weird orange light on them for no reason, but in this it's like he's conjuring a fireball, so it even makes more sense.
It's like, I want to get Magicka now because of this.
I know.
Just to applaud their creativity.
And what's funny too is like they released this poster as a spoof, and then EA's been starting to ramp up Battlefield 3. They released the Battlefield 3 poster, and it's another one of these.
Battlefield 3 does look pretty sick, though, apparently.
It does look awesome. Oh, man. Well, I could jump to that. They announced that in addition to using further improvements to their Frostbite engine, they're actually using the animation systems from a lot of the EA sports games.
Right.
Which I think is a cool idea. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that game's going to be sweet.
For sure.
Oh, let's see. Where did I leave off? Oh, so Epic at GDC unveiled what they think the next generation will look like.
What
do you see this?
No, I heard about this.
They had a real-time demo running off of DirectX 11 hardware. Of course, whenever you see these tech demos, you have to remember there's no AI or sound processing or player input. It's just pure graphics. But still, it looked really nice.
I'm sure.
That cigarette looked very real.
I mean, like, when I hear some of this, I think about, like, that first Madden teaser for the next generation way back when.
Yes.
How, like, ridiculous that was. Just totally not representative. Look at in that Penny Arcade comic about the bull shots and
the
stuff.
The bull shot, yes.
Here's the next generation. Look upon it in despair.
Oh, I love those comics. Super Meat Boy on the Wii is no more.
I thought they said that a while ago.
They were still trying. Well, they couldn't get it on WiiWare because they couldn't get the game to fit in the file size limit.
Right.
So they were looking for a publisher to actually do a disc-based release.
Oh.
No one wanted to spend the money on it.
Oh, well, I guess everyone's kind of got Meat Boy by now.
Yeah. It apparently did a lot better on Steam than it did on XBLA, even.
That kind of surprised me. I mean, it was really cheap lot on Steam, though.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm sure there was a lot of repeat business, too.
Yeah.
Because it came out first in XBLA, and it's like, here's the PC version, which is better.
They were kind of calling out Microsoft a lot recently about how they weren't really promoting the game as well as they should have.
Yeah, everyone seems to do that in XBLA. They get upset.
They do. They all. It's funny because it seems like from a consumer side, we all love Xbox Live Arcade and Xbox Live and all that stuff. But publishers seem to hate the shit out of it, and developers especially.
Well, honestly, the thing is, like, it's not like Sony or Nintendo are doing a great job either. Like, no one really does much to promote these games aside from like just sticking a link to it in the storefront homepage.
I guess the appealing thing with Sony is that they don't have as many rules.
But the thing is, too, I mean, is it, like, Sony's job to advertise, like, for example, I don't know, Call of Duty? Like, no, like, you're the publisher, you have to advertise it.
Yeah, but if you're a downloadable game, you live and die by being on that Xbox Spotlight thing.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you know, like, I guess it, if I was the big new game that week, the big new downloadable game, I would at least hope to be, like, prominent on there.
And they were. They totally were.
You see, that's weird, because when I think about it, I could have sworn I saw Super Meat Boy all around, but I don't know. That's their beef.
okay. I see what you did there.
Yeah, right.
Now, speaking of more XBLA games, Double Fine has announced their next one. It's called Trenched. It's like this really weird, like World War One meets Mech Assault looking game.
I'm into that.
Do you see the trailer?
No, I looked at some screenshots is all I did.
Yeah, the design of the mechs are cool because it's literally like a little bunker on top of a walking platform. Like, they're not enclosed in these things.
Hmm.
It's really neat. It's going to be like a kind of combination shooter and tower defense game, I guess.
Oh, well, I'm into it.
Yeah.
You think they're going to make any more, like, real games? Not, okay, you know, not real games, I know that.
Like, big budget game.
Right.
Like another Brutal Legend.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe if the stint they're doing XBLA is proving pretty successful for them. They, you know, they fill their coffers. I don't see why not.
Because
The one thing you notice is all these games, like, they haven't really been Tim Schafer. It's just been Double Fine. Like, it makes you wonder if he's cooking up the next big thing.
Right. I thought he was more involved in stacking. Or was he not? I don't even know.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I really don't know.
Okay. So. What's the new Yakuza, the one with the zombies?
4?
Well, it has got, like, Of the End, is that it? Hang on,
is
I wrote
it?
This down somewhere.
I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, that's Yakuza. It. Yakuza of the End. So, they released some screenshots. While you're fighting off zombies in Tokyo, there will be some kind of special zombies, like they're special infected.
Can you date them? Is that what makes them special?
No, they're huge ripoffs of Left 4 Dead.
Oh, I mean, there's, like, blatant. Boomers and, like...
Yeah, there's a boomer that is exactly like the boomer from Left 4 Dead. There's a tank that's exactly like the tank. There is a female zombie that cries until you disturb her, and then she freaks out and attacks you.
Ooh.
Come on.
Wow.
Seriously?
How about that?
Seriously. And they look... it's not even that different looking. It's so blatant.
I don't know. I don't care.
Yeah, it's true.
Yakuza could freaking have Goombas in it for all I care.
That would make it The Godfather. Oh!
I see what you did there.
Yep.
We're filled with bad puns today.
Yes. Bungie has confirmed that their next game is a massive multiplayer game, but it is not. It is not Warcraft in Space.
Oh, sure, it's not.
Probably an MMO shooter.
We'll talk about this more. Let's go topical.
Okay, cool. And my final story. We have the date of the Gears of War 3 beta. It begins April 25th. Now, did you see all the, like, beta rewards that they're doling out with this thing?
Beta rewards?
Yeah, it's an interesting way to force people to play a lot of this.
Hmm.
Here's the breakdown. You get a beta tester medal if you complete one match in the beta. That carries over into your profile in the final game. You get the Thrashball Cole model by completing 50 matches in any game type to unlock Thrashball Cole. Then you have to complete 10 matches as Thrashball Cole to keep him in the final game.
Huh.
You get the gold-plated Retro Lancer if you complete 90 matches in any game type, then score 100 kills with it once you've unlocked in the beta to carry that to the final game.
Jeez.
You get a Flaming Hammer Burst if you complete one match on Sunday, April 24th. You get a Flaming Lancer if you complete one match during the week of April 25th. You get a Flaming Sawed-Off Shotgun if you complete one match during the week of May 2nd. You get a Flaming Nasher Shotgun if you complete one match during the week of May 9th.
So it's to make sure people keep playing. I mean, I guess it's an interesting idea.
Yeah, it makes sense.
I mean, if they just want people to keep playing. At first I was like, oh, but it's a bit. You could get rewards. But if it's just incentive to make people play, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not, you know, got no problem with that.
Yep. All right, I'm done.
Okay, then. So let's go topical.
Okay.
So David Cage recently said at GDC that we need to forget about video game rules. Bosses, missions, game over, etc. They're all very old words of a very old language. You agree with him?
Absolutely. I mean, I think the fact... Yeah. Like, so many game design choices are based on the fact that video games were designed to kill you as quickly and off as possible so you put more quarters into a machine. Like, they weren't crafting, like, this, like, narrative, like, interactive entertainment experience. They were trying to get your quarters and make sure you were at least having fun while you were doing it. Like, a game over screen in 2011 to me is ridiculous.
You never want to die anymore.
I don't
want to
die.
Then what's, like, that's what game over is.
No. When you die, there's some kind of penalty. Okay, like, you have to backtrack or you lose something. That's fine. But to say, like, the game's over, because it's not over. You'd usually just end up pushing start and picking up where you left off anyway. Okay. Like, I just think it's like it's just a silly term.
But bosses? We don't need bosses anymore?
Bosses I still like. I mean, I'm trying to articulate this. Like, not like... hang on. I have a thought here. It's somewhere deep in my brain. Like, I think it's good to get to, like, climactic encounters and things like that. Like, I think he takes more umbrage with, like, the level metric of play and play and play and play and play, and then you hit a boss, and then there's, like, levels over screen, and then, like, it waits, and you play and play and play, and, like, you know, basically it's, like, using bosses as, like, a checkpoint instead of, like a natural part of the drive of the game. Does that make any sense?
No, I know what you mean. Like, basically he's rallying against, like, levels. He doesn't want levels.
Yeah, like a game should be a more seamless experience.
Which a lot of them are already.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that's less of a problem. A lot of what he's talking about, I feel like, is on the way out. Honestly, I know you're going to yell at me, but I feel like it is mostly Japanese developers who kind of cling to these older notions.
You get upset about stupid things like, oh, there's a part at the end of the level where I get a grade.
I just don't understand S rank, that's all.
That's what it means.
It's like, why isn't A the best?
A plus.
What's S mean? Super?
I wish I got a paper back at school and had an S on it. Like, oh, well, thank you.
Hey.
I mean, I guess, I don't know, you defend yourself better than I thought, so I can't really yell at you, but...
Yeah, thank you.
I don't like David Cage, so...
I mean, I know. Here's the thing.
You know,
I
hate Heavy Rain. I just do.
Yeah, I know.
I don't want games to be like that.
Gaming has just become really broad. You know, it's like... It's a medium where you can have Heavy Rain, and you can have Pac-Man Championship DX. And it's like... Those are two very tangentially related things. But they're still video games. So it just makes it very hard to define... What is a video game?
See, that's kind of my thing. We can do both anyway, so we don't need to forget about video game rules, like bosses, missions.
I think he takes umbrage with people. I think he said that word already. Anyway.
That's fine. Like, Professor, you know, Umbridge.
When someone's trying to craft a, like, Heavy Rain-esque experience, something that's a narrative-driven puzzle action game that has game over screens. You know? Like, that's weird.
I guess so. But see, like, at the same time, this game didn't have game over screens, but there were clearly moments where if I kept playing, my ending was going to suck, and I knew I had to restart.
See, that's one thing I do hate. Like, I don't mind multiple endings in a game, but I hate it when even the developer's like, this is the true ending. It's like, well, fuck you.
Right.
I want to see that one.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, why can't there just be endings?
That's the ending I want. I mean, people would argue... There's a best ending. I mean, there's an ending where more people survive in Heavy Rain. I don't know. I'm sure people would even argue for the lesser endings. Like, oh, no, they're still good and stuff and whatnot. I don't know. You know, me not liking Heavy Rain is a whole nother issue, I guess.
Right.
All right, next. Game Gear games are coming to the 3DS Virtual Console. So, what's your favorite Game Gear game?
I kind of like the Sonic games on Game Gear, actually, as I recall.
They were pretty good. Well... I remember Sonic and Tails and... Well, I don't think it was ever called Sonic and Tails here. I think it was called Sonic Chaos and the Sonic and Tails...
No, that Sonic Chaos was a different one. That was the one that knacked the weasel in it.
No. Listen. There's two games in Japan. It's called Sonic and Tails, Sonic and Tails 2. In America, Sonic and Tails 1 was called Sonic Chaos, and Sonic and Tails 2 was called Sonic Triple Trouble, right?
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, those were good.
Yeah, those were great. I remember them being excellent.
Yeah.
Knack the Weasel. I like to Knack the Weasel.
I did too.
Then there's also just like the Sonic 1 and Sonic 2 had their Game Gear versions, which were basically the Sega Master version of those games.
Yeah, they just were.
I'm trying to think like if anything was memorable for the system that wasn't a Sonic game, though.
Yeah.
I remember there's a lot of inferior ports of Genesis games. Like just worse versions of things, like the Mortal Kombat for Game Gear and the baseball game for Game Gear. Remember that weird Tails game that came out for the Game Gear that I don't think anyone remembers?
Oh, yeah, where you, like, in the little ship.
Yeah, and you had bombs, and you threw bombs. Yeah. Bomberman. Just, yeah, exactly. I'm like, oh, Game Gear, that's cool. Sonic games, and I guess there'll be a version of Columns or something. That'll be fine.
Right, right. Yeah, that'll be good.
Like I said, you know.
As I recall, there was a good Shinobi game for Game Gear that people seem to like.
Oh, really? Well, that's nice. Yeah. Shinobi's fun.
Yeah.
TurboGrafx, that's... We already have all those games on the...
like, that's weird. It wasn't, like, the Lynx. It was the TurboGrafx.
Right. I mean, yeah, that's fine, I guess. Like I said,
Atari made the Lynx. Never mind. There was a TurboGrafx portable, wasn't there? It was, like, TurboGrafx Express.
What, was there?
I think so.
I don't know.
Yeah, it was a very vertical system. As opposed to the Lynx, which is very horizontal.
Right. I mean, it's a good start. I kind of hope that just the Super Nintendo and all the other virtual console systems just become available.
I'm sure they will. Look, I mean...
It seems like it could do up to 64.
Oh, yeah, totally. And, you know, Nintendo's not above charging you to buy games they've already sold to you a few dozen times.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, shit, you want to put, like, you know, Super Mario World and, like, Donkey Kong Country on the 3DS... with, like, perfect control layout for those games. Yeah, sure, sign me up.
Yeah.
I'll pay $5.
I probably would. I wonder if they would ever just be like, pay $200 and you will own the Super Nintendo library.
Oh, man, I'd do it.
Like,
I'd totally do it.
Like, they'd just be like, you have every game we have on the Virtual Console for Super Nintendo and any more we ever release.
I'd totally do
that. I'd do that. Like, yes.
In a heartbeat.
Give me every one of them.
Yeah.
I will take them all. Alright, next. Bungie's next game appears to be a massively multiplayer game of some kind. It'll be a smash hit.
Yeah, I mean, people definitely flock to it when you, you know, say, hey, here's the next shooter from Bungie, the guys who made Halo, and it's on everything.
But wait, now does that matter, I wonder? Are you gonna... Is the mass...
It'll help.
It'll help, but is it gonna sell an MMO? I feel like... The Halo game without Bungie is going to have a much better advantage than just the next Bungie game.
Well, it'll have
Halo.
IP help. I mean, look at you know, Call of Duty without Infinity Ward. It does fine. But here's the thing. I mean, when Halo was first coming out, I mean, it got some draw for being a very graphically impressive game and everything, but it was new IP on a new console from a relatively unknown studio.
Okay, Halo, if you're trying to say, if you're using Halo as an example of why they'll be okay, that was the exception. That's not the rule. Halo
well, I'm just saying, but I mean, what they did, though, is that was just straight up them saying, we know how this works, we're going to prove ourselves. And they did. And I feel like, you know, you look at, like, innovations that they created in Halo 2 are still being caught up on by other...
Like what?
Shooters. Like parties. Like,
oh, you're saying the online stuff?
Yeah, like a lot of their online functionality. Like, they set that trend. And let's not forget, too, these are the guys who created the first-person shooter control scheme that everybody uses now. Like, I feel like they're very good at being forward-thinking, and if anyone was going to successfully do a console-based, massively multiplayer shooter and figure out how to make it work, I feel like they have the best chance of anybody.
Yeah, sure, they would have an advantage. I still don't... I'm still just very skeptical on it. I said it before, I don't see any reason why any studio would make an MMO right now. It just doesn't seem to work to me.
It'll depend on exactly what kind of MMO it is, what and if there are fees associated with it. Because I don't think it could be monthly, but they could microtransaction the hell out of it.
When I think about the average online shooter player... There's a lot of things about an MMO, and even one that you kind of sort of dumb down so it's a shooter MMO in what way, I don't know. I just don't think it would appeal to them. They're all about, hurry up, get the next game started, go, go, go.
But the game's always started. You don't have to stop and start.
I know you're saying that, but it won't always... But what, it can't always be every square inch is constantly a team deathmatch. What?
Can it? I don't know. Maybe it can.
No. Unless you have a really small game world. But what does that mean, then? Like, Planet Side wasn't fun when you were just walking around shooting people. You have to have objectives and stuff. And to have objectives, you have to move to those objectives.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're going to get for that. I don't know if they're going to want that over just, here's Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3, and I'm going to do Team Deathmatch again.
I don't know, like, I almost picture, like, picture that diorama from the Halo 3 ads where every unit in that thing was being played by somebody. Like, could that work?
See, I guess I would say no, it can't. It'd be cool. See, and I know what you're thinking, and you're thinking something like Planet Side. The Planet Side didn't work.
Oh, yes, it did.
It worked, kind of.
I love that game.
I just don't see... I mean, I'm sure that they have an advantage. I don't think they have as much advantage as some people think they do. I don't think she was going to say, oh, it's Bungie. Like, oh, okay, here we go. It'll be interesting to see how, like, that Respawn game does, too. Like, we made Call of Duty, trust us.
Yeah.
It just seems so... I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm happy they're just not making another space shooter.
Yeah, but I mean, here's the thing, too. Keep in mind, Activision's publishing this. You know there will be a bajillion commercials that will have this, like, super-produced trailer that will say at the end, from the makers of Halo, and blah, blah, blah. And, like, they will make it a big deal.
I'm sure. I just don't...
You know, from the studio that brought you Halo and the publisher that brought you Call of Duty, whatever.
With an MMO, so much can go wrong.
Oh, I know.
And it's hard... And I know they're saying it's not WoW in space. You're still competing with WoW.
Yeah, well, that's where the subscription fee comes to play.
I understand, but they've kind of always been used to being king of the hill, and they had some competition from...
Well, and keep in mind, it's their own competition. I mean, it's all Activision.
Yeah, that's true, but I mean, that doesn't really matter. It doesn't help them.
Right.
Maybe in the eyes of the management, they're fine. I don't know. It's just weird to me. Also, I hope it doesn't actually end up being WoW in space. Like, it's getting disappointing that, like, the Old Republic is looking more and more like WoW in space, in a way.
Yeah.
Just, like, really, like, with a lot of voice acting.
You see much about Rift?
Not a whole lot. I mean, I hear things.
Okay. I really don't know much about it, so...
See, I mean, I had this notion that, you're making an MMO, like Rift or whatever, that's cute. Like, seriously, that's what's like, have fun with that. It's just World of Warcraft has an advantage over everybody right now.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know some of you don't like World of Warcraft, but the fact of the matter is they have a huge player base, so you can always do the shit that you need to do in the game. They have a ridiculous amount of content. They have the resources to update that content constantly, make it interesting. Like that was the problem with Final Fantasy XIV, besides everything else, just you can't launch an MMO with enough content to compete with WoW, unless you work on it for like 10 years or something.
That is true.
It's just, it's impossible. Alright, next. So, Yu Suzuki says that he thinks Sega will let him make Shenmue 3. You think Sega should?
No. Look, I know everyone likes Shenmue because it was this groundbreaking open-world experience, but if you go back and play Shenmue, it really wasn't that good. I hate to say it, but it's really not that great a game.
Yeah, you respect it for what it was, and it has this kind of quirky charms now when you play it.
I don't know. I mean, maybe if they applied some modern design principles and streamlined everything, like, it could be cool, but frankly, I don't have a lot of faith in Sega.
Did you?
I think that's what it really comes down to.
I never actually played Shenmue 2. Did you?
I dabbled.
Was it pretty much just Shenmue again?
Yeah.
In Hong Kong? I assume there's another cliffhanger. Mm. But I guess, like, my thing is kind of, didn't either of these games not sell very well?
No, they didn't do very well at all.
I don't know how you can justify a Shenmue 3, I guess. I know that people are like, oh, let's do it. That's got to be an expensive game to make.
Yep.
Man, I still remember the first Shenmue, how that was just supposed to be, like, the end-all be-all of video games ever. Mm. And how it was going to save the Dreamcast and all this weird shit.
It's like this living organic world. Go anywhere. Talk to anybody.
It was compelling, though, for that, because you really just didn't do that shit before. Then Grand Theft Auto came out and kind of...
ruined everything.
Well, it didn't ruin it, but, it did a lot. It was much more of a game than Shenmue was. That was the problem.
Right, right.
You didn't just walk around asking people about your father, the people who murdered him. Oh, someone murdered my father.
It was another case of game two. It just lacked urgency. Like, I felt like oh, I need to, like, find these guys before the trail goes cold. But then, like, you're just farting around.
Well, that was always a source nothing. Of comedy when people were mocking the game. That never really actually bothered me, though. There's in Oblivion, like, I'm out of the jail, like, oh my god, go fucking find Joffrey and talk to him. Holy shit, go talk to Joffrey. What are we going to do? The Emperor is dead. I have, like, I think I have, like, over a year of in-world game time now. I have not talked to Joffrey. Joffrey's probably way there. Like, everyone's like, man, the Emperor's been dead forever. And things are just terrible. Thank God Oblivion has decided not to open yet. Whilst anybody who might save us is doing other
shit. We're really
shit.
Lucking out here.
Yeah. Like, I'm like, no, guys, I'm pickpocketing people for fun. I'll get on that, Joffrey. What if Joffrey dies of old age? Like, you can't do the main quest anymore. Joffrey is dead. And he can't tell you the incredibly important thing he had to tell you. You don't know what to do anymore. You fuck. We're ruined. God damn it. I hope you had fun in the Thieves Guild. Now the world is over. We gave you one thing to do.
And you didn't do it.
The Emperor in his last dying breath told you to do this. He said to go see Joffrey. You could just click and go there, you asshole. Would it really killed you? To save the world. Before you just wandered around, do whatever you pleased. So, get hacked. So, that's what I think about your urgency argument.
Yep, you raised an excellent point.
I win.
Good job.
Winning! Charlie Sheen.
All the time,
reference.
All the time.
AJ, don't do crack. Unless you can handle it socially, AJ. Not many people can, though.
They're not winning like him.
No. Oh, well, okay. My last thing was what you think of the new Zelda trailer, but you didn't watch it, you fuck. So, I guess you have no thoughts on it.
Was it very Zelda-y?
It was. Well,
did Link swing the Master Sword?
There's a lot of directional sword play involved, which I think looks cool. Some people seem to be kind of pissed off against it.
I saw the E3 trailer. I thought I embrace it. I mean, here's the thing. I've spoken before of my love of the sword fighting mode in Wii Sports Resort. Mm-hmm. Like, this is an actual game that does that. Like, bring it on. Now, I'm excited.
Here's one thing that's driving me crazy, though. Hmm. And the music in it sounds like MIDI music.
It's like, where's that Mario Galaxy money? Come on, that had an orchestra.
Because I was about to, like, write this whole article about it and how, like, you know, comparing the Zelda trailer to, like, Oblivion, where it's, like, I mean, the Skyrim trailer, where it's all sold by the music and how epic it sounds. But, like, I found some quote where, like, Nintendo's like, oh, yeah, the soundtrack's going to be fully orchestrated. I'm like, wait, what? Is this orchestrated? I don't think it is. Is this temporary music? Because it sounds like new music.
I mean, you know, music is often a late part of production.
I guess so, but I'll tell you what, it better be orchestrated. Because it looks Bush League.
Yeah.
It does. I mean, I don't think... You can't take Zelda, which is supposed to be this giant, epic franchise and all that, and not have an orchestrated score for it anymore. You just can't.
Yeah, just think how awesome that Wind Waker trailer was with the Conan the Barbarian.
No, exactly, and that's why...
That was awesome!
A lot of the, not just that one, but a lot of Zelda games for their first trailer just use that track from Conan the Barbarian, and it is amazing! It's amazing! It's awesome!
Yeah, it gets you pumped.
It does. And like I said, the Skyrim trailer, which I probably watched 200 times by now... That music
so
sells
good.
It, and like this game looks great. But like
you have that trailer as an MP3 on your iPhone.
I do, for sure.
I know it's great.
But like when I watch that Zelda trailer, it's like things looking, and then this music is just it's not soaring. It's clearly not orchestrated. I don't know. I'm not an expert in music. I don't have a great ear. Maybe it is, and I just don't. I don't hear it, but just it sounds exactly like Twilight Princess music, and that killed me in Twilight Princess. Honestly,
yeah,
it was like it was okay for Wind Waker. I guess you were getting away with it then, but you can't get away with that, especially when the Mario game had the soundtrack it did.
Yeah,
come on,
yeah.
You can't give me Mario Galaxy with like this incredibly soaring, epic, one of the best game soundtracks of all time. And then go back to like... I mean, you have to watch this trailer and just listen to the music. And there's a lot of stuff to like, and I don't think... No one's talking about the music because... I mean, I'm being like negative for no reason almost because there's so much good in that trailer. The game looks... I like the art style. I like what they're doing. I like the sword play. But that drives me crazy. If that's not representative of the final music, you shouldn't have put it in the trailer. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's worrying me. I will rip into this game, though, if it doesn't have orchestrated music. I'm sorry. That's just inexcusable to me. If it ends up not having that, that'd be ridiculous.
Yep.
That would just literally make... It would make the game feel cheap. Because that's what the trailer does for me. It makes it look cheaper than it should be.
Fair enough.
All right.
And, you know, quick aside, you just made me think of this talking about Mario music. You know that the Super Mario All-Stars Limited Edition thing is being resold on March 13th?
I want that just for the soundtrack that it comes with.
Yeah. We're going to be in Boston, so I'm going to buy it online, I think, so I make sure I get it.
Okay. Let's go talk about our week in gaming.
Okay. You want to go first?
Yeah, sure, because I've been playing Pokemon a lot, actually.
Woot.
For, like, the past week.
What say you?
Oh, Yeah, I don't want to say, I guess I can't say too much. Well, I don't know. I still don't know all the ethics about reviewing in a weird way.
You don't say your score, but you can talk about the game at length.
Yeah, like, I really like it.
I mean, it comes out tomorrow.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I liked it a lot, obviously. I thought it was great. I think anybody who's ever liked the Pokemon game should definitely be into this quite a bit.
I will say, I've never seen you play a Pokemon game so much, Mike.
Well, yeah, that's the interesting thing with reviewing a game of finding out in this brand new world.
So let me ask you some specifics.
I will tell you, by the way, and I noticed this on IGN, they give you a weird list for a review of things you're not allowed to talk about with this game.
Yeah.
And even IGN, if you go look at the review right now, it says, like, redacted, and they had to go back. I'm assuming that they said things they weren't supposed to, like they didn't read the note Nintendo sent them, and they had to, like, redact a shit from the review. And you can just look at the review right now, and they basically just, like, put, like, black lines through things.
Huh.
Because they don't want you to talk about specifics past the second dungeon. I mean, second gym leader. And they literally give you a list of Pokemon.
Spoiler warning.
Yeah.
There's a third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth gym leader. Well, then I have it on good authority that you fight four really good Pokemon trainers, and then maybe or maybe not your best friend.
It's weird because they're not letting you talk about game features. And they give you a list of Pokemon you're not allowed to show images or talk about.
Have they, like, not heard of the internet?
I was about to say, like, these are they're online.
The game's out in Japan.
I don't get it. Makes no sense to me. But besides their weird review policy, it's fantastic. The presentation, obviously, is, like, the big difference, but oh my god. It's still sprites, which I like, because it's still charming with that. Mm-hmm. Like, the character sprites and, like, the battle sprites and stuff, but, like, the camera swoops around them in a way. They're animated. The Pokemon are animated a lot more than I actually thought they were going to be. And it's just like a simple... It's like a few animations that just cycle through and through. But man, does it add so much personality. Like, just for kicks, I just looked up what a battle looked like in Pokemon Diamond just to kind of remember. And man, is it a crazy improvement. Because it adds personality to it. Like, I had a Snivy, which is the Leaf starter. Also known as Smugleaf. And, like, every once in a while, he'll just kind of cross his arms. It totally sells him for me, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, yeah, that's exactly what he would do. He's smug. He crosses his arms. It's great. So I love that.
How are the 3-on-3 battles?
They're, like, well, the 3-on-3 battles are what you expect. It's just, like, the double battles. But then there's another thing called rotation battles, and they're kind of interesting, where you have three Pokemon, but only one can attack at a time. You kind of, like, rotate if you want to attack with a different one. You can only target, like, the lead Pokemon, too. So you'll use a water attack, but then your guy might rotate. And it's interesting, but, like, there's not a whole lot of strategy involved because you don't know if the person's going to rotate or not. Mm-hmm. I guess it kind of solves, like, the problem of, like, the Poke Battle where it's just basically whoever, like, gets the advantage in that first matchup wins.
Yeah.
You know, like, well, oh, you sent out your Leaf guy when I sent out my Fire guys, and now...
Yeah, it's like, well, I'm hosed. Well, doesn't, the 3-on-3 battles, isn't it like you can only attack the one who's directly in front of you in diagonal, so, like, only the one in the middle could attack all three?
Those are rotation battles, again.
Oh, that is rotation?
Yeah.
Oh. I misunderstood it when I was reading, because I thought, like...
I mean, look, either way, those kind of things, they're not... It's not like that's, like, the normal battle now, anyways.
Right,
it's, like,
right.
A nice little thing.
It's still mostly one-on-one.
Yeah, and, you know, as it should be.
Yeah.
What am
you have a new favorite Pokemon?
There's this one Pokemon. Wait, let me check my list to see if I'm allowed to fucking talk about him. I'm actually not even going to talk about it. I don't know if I can. How about that?
That's so stupid. The game comes out in less than 24 hours.
I mean, look, I'm sorry. I had this list of, like, 70 names. I'm not going to read through it right now to see if I can talk about this goddamn Pokemon or not.
Who's that Pokemon?
Right. Some of these are like
launches.
It's like the second evolution of like the starters. Why the hell can I talk about them? Like, this is a brave new world for me in a way. I've only started reviewing games for like a year now, but Jesus Christ. anyways, one of my, actually, I think my, and I showed you this, I think my favorite thing about the game, actually, it's kind of silly, but the music changes dynamically in the battles, and just a couple of times, like when your health is low, the music will get, you know, like more desperate and stuff like that, but my favorite thing is when you're fighting a gym leader, and they're on their last Pokemon, the music just changes and starts playing, like, this very triumphant version of, like, the Pokemon main theme, you know, like, da, 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 and it, I just want to, like, jump in the, and, like, high-five God. So I think it's, like, how awesome I feel when it does that. Like, yes, this is epic.
All right.
But, I mean, you know, it's very much, you know, it's Pokemon, you're doing your thing. One thing I like is that you, it's a small thing, but instead of one rival, you have two friends. And they're not really, like, they're kind of rivals, but, like, you know, they don't hate you. And, like, they'll each pick one of the other Pokemon you don't pick. So it's not like that awkward thing where it's like, I choose Bulbasaur, you choose Charmander, and now Squirtle is just going to be with Professor Oak forever.
Right. So that's cool.
Yeah, so and you have both these people. The story is slightly more involved for a Pokemon game than you would expect. Only slightly, but, like, one nice thing that does is whenever you go into a town, there's usually something involving that gym leader. You're always introduced to the gym leader before you just go to his gym and fight him. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of more of a character or stuff like that. But the big things really are just presentation. It's just like, you know, the new Pokemon, they all look great for the most part. They're kind of, I think people who play Pokemon will understand this, they're kind of laid out strategically in the beginning so you can make a really good team fairly early on, which is kind of important. I'm just really, really digging it right now. Cool. Well, I guess I dug it. More.
Yes,
I mean, you know, Pokemon, you still play it forever. But I was quite the fan. I think every... it's a hell of a swan song for the DS, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
But if you're going to go out on something, I guess, you know, may as well be Pokemon.
Yep.
But, you know, I can say I think it's the best one yet, so...
Cool.
It's good.
Okay, I have to take a quick aside. Because on this page I have opened from Kotaku, I just realized there's an ad for Rift.
Rift. What's it
say? It is a picture of some generic-looking fantasy chick with a sword looking at these weird purple tentacles coming out of the sky while there's some mountains in the background. And it says in the top right, "We're not in Azeroth anymore."
Wow. Really?
Look, if that's your ad, you already lost. I'm sorry.
We're doing that now? Wow. Good luck with that, Rift.
Oh, my God.
Okay. I actually just went to Kotaku to watch this. Wait, by the way, when you go to Kotaku, do you go to, like, the Canadian version?
I don't go to Kotaku.
Well, then you just said you were on Kotaku.
Well, I clicked the link for my Google Reader feed. I mean, I just read it on Google Reader.
Yeah, that's Kotaku. If you go to ca.kotaku.com, it looks exactly like old Kotaku. It's weird.
That's nice.
Yes.
I just hate it if you click a link on the iPad to go to any Gawker Media site, it loads, like, the mobile version. It won't load the link to the article you clicked. It goes to the homepage.
Right.
Then I have to, like, find it again. Anyway, games I played. I started Bulletstorm.
Oh, well, what do you think of the Bulletstorms?
Mike, I love Bulletstorm.
That pleases me since I got it for your birthday.
Yes. It is so good. Like, I'm kind of amazed at how good it is. It, like, everyone complains that the game starts off slow, which I didn't have a problem with, because I think I kind of mentally prepared myself for it, but, like, for a long time, you have nothing but an assault rifle, and, you don't get that leash right away, and then you don't get the skill shots immediately after that. I mean, pretty close after that.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, and the thing is, like, everyone knew this stuff was coming because we all played the demo, so it seemed kind of redundant to have to, like, ease us into it. But they actually make narrative sense of why you're trying to get all these skill shots.
Oh, really?
Well, this leash thing is, like, so this government weapon that all the bad guys have, and you get one early on, and it, like genetically fuses with you and all that stuff. Like, he can hear it talking to him and that bullshit. And then it's tracking your progress, and the government awards its soldiers for killing with skill with these skill shot points that they can use to buy upgrades. So that's why you're trying to do is to impress the government.
Ah, of course.
And get more credits.
There you go, then.
So there it is. You know, I mean, it's got, like, all the childish, you know, the whole dick tits dialogue and all that fun cursing. And it is one of those games, too, where it's like, they emphasize, like, that we're cursing. Like, what are you doing here? motherfucker.
It's like, kind of a fun throwback in a way.
It is. That's the thing. But it knows it's doing that. That's why it's funny. Mm-hmm. It's like self-aware of how ridiculous it is.
Right. It's called Bulletstorm, for crying out loud.
But, I mean, here the game is just, it's just so big and epic and fun.
Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with that.
Like, there's one sequence.
And it has a color palette, which I like.
It's orange. It's very orange.
Yeah.
I like it.
We don't have enough orange games. We got a lot of brown games. A lot of gray games. Not very many orange games.
Like, there's this one sequence where you're escaping on this train while this giant spinning wheel of death is chasing after you the whole time. It just looks amazing. Like, it's just really, because it's so big.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's this one part, like, you've seen in the trailer that kind of show, like, that weird giant monster thing that's attacking you that you presumably fight.
Right.
There's, like a tease of it early in the game where you're, like, you're going through this cave and you're trying to get out to the other side and this rock bridge collapses on you and you land in this thing's nest. And the only way to get out is to shoot all of its eggs that are blocking your path. Well, this pisses it off.
Mm-hmm.
So all you do is you just hear it coming. You never see it. And there's, like, a countdown clock, so you're running to get out of this cave. You get on this helicopter thing you kind of fix, but it's, like, not really working. So you're trying to get away from this thing. It literally busts through the mountain. And there's so much smoke and debris, you can't really see it. You just know it's coming. And then you shoot a wrecked train from above so it blows up and falls on this thing while you get away. So it's just really cool because you don't actually see this monster. You just know that something giant is coming at you and you need to get out of there.
David Cage says we need to get rid of bosses.
But it wasn't a boss. It was just like this cool thing that
happened. It's a set piece.
Yeah.
Which is something you need nowadays.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really fun just to go into the list of skill shots, see which ones you haven't done yet, be like, okay, I can figure this one out. It does. I think they were talking about this on Weekend Confirmed. It almost feels like Tony Hawk.
Oh.
Like, you look at the environment you have, and you try to figure out how you can use this environment to get the biggest score. And you have this arsenal of tricks that you're going to use to do it. Like, it really does harken to that. It's really fun.
I definitely need to get to it at some point. Sure.
Yeah, I really like it.
I'm going to go back now to me.
Okay.
As I am off to do. Been playing more Morrowind. I don't want to talk about too much.
You mean Oblivion.
I don't want to talk about too much since it is actually, I think it was a 5-year-old game. Like, didn't it come out like March 20th, 2006?
Somewhere thereabouts.
It came out in March, I remember. And I remember this because it came out the same month as Kingdom Hearts 2, which was the biggest deal ever for me. But yeah, so it's like a 5-year-old game, so I don't want to talk about too much. But, I mean, I've been playing it. I finished Shivering Isles, which was the first thing I did. You never actually did Shivering Isles, huh?
No, well, I started it, and that's when my Xbox got stolen.
That's funny that I did content in that game that you play forever that you haven't done.
Yeah.
But no, that was all great. But what I'm really liking now is I'm doing the Thieves Guild stuff, and I think I love doing all that.
Yeah, I've started that. It's really good.
Yeah, so that's what guilds did you do?
The only guild I finished to completion was the Mages Guild, which was also really cool.
Right.
Because you basically end up becoming the head of the Mages Guild at the end, and you just feel really powerful by the end.
Oh, well, that's cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I'm really liking the guild quest, and I'll probably do all those, and I'll actually go get around to saving the world and all that. But, although I kind of feel like as I realize Dragon Age 2 is coming out Tuesday.
And I know.
I have to play that. Oh, that's crazy. Okay, should we just move on to those releases then?
Ah, I got another game.
Is it an important one?
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
I got Beyond Good and Evil HD.
Oh, well, I mean, yeah, but that's Beyond Good and Evil still. It looks pretty, right?
Oh, it's awesome.
See, Bice? Go ahead.
They did a really good job, because, like, it's almost like, I mean, this game came out kind of close to the same time that World of Warcraft did. I think it was, like, a year earlier.
Really?
But,
wow.
Like, the graphical improvements to it follow a kind of similar path to WoW's. Like, the character models have some more polygons to them. The textures are a bit improved. The water looks really good now. And, like, it's just a really well-done port. The thing I was most impressed by, they redid all the music. The music is awesome.
Oh, really?
Now.
That's cool.
Yeah.
See, you have to have better music. Is it orchestrated or is it just better quality?
No, it's orchestrated.
Oh, really? Okay, if Beyond Good and Evil HD has orchestrated music, the new Zelda better damn well.
Yeah, right. But, I mean, it's even funny, like even some of the weird little glitches and idiosyncrasies are there. Like, I don't know if you remember this. I didn't until I saw it. After that first boss fight, and when you, the alpha section shows up and they, like, saved you even though they didn't really do anything, and you scan something, and then Secundo, the comically / offensively Mexican guy.
What's with Secundo? What is he?
He's an AI routine that lives in your hip.
Why do people in the future always have AI people? Why can't they just be computers?
I don't know. But anyway, you remember he said something like, but be careful, Yade. I noticed after the fight that something got into your psycho karma. But, like, the screen always kind of cut away before he was done talking, even though, like, the text was there. Like, that still happened. For some reason, I saw that, and I was like, I remember that glitch.
Right.
It's still there.
See,
it's great.
As much as, like, I kind of am into this for sure, I've played through the first half of Beyond Good and Evil, I think, 3 times now.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of my problem. Is this does it really still hold up as a game? Like,
yeah,
entirely?
It's good.
Yeah,
I played through the first mission in the cave, and I had a great time with it. It's still really good.
Well, hopefully, this does.
Jade is just such a good character.
Yeah.
She really is. It's a shame that if they don't end up doing the second game.
Well, presumably, I think a lot of that's going to depend on how well this does now.
Yeah, which is also part of why I kind of wanted to get this.
Right.
But yeah, it's awesome. It's really good.
All right, we ready now?
Did I play anything else?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
We're an hour into this. Let's get
going. Oh, no, real quick. Pac-Man Championship DX.
Oh, for God's sakes, it's Pac-Man Championship Edition.
No, I didn't know how good this was.
I didn't know what. What?
Because it was $5 this week. It's not like the other Pac-Man Championship where it's still like just 4 ghosts. Like, ghosts constantly spawn in and out. And it's really about chaining them together because some of the ghosts will actually have power pellets inside of them.
Right.
And, like, there's just something very satisfying about eating a straight line of, like, 15 ghosts.
Nice.
It's just really fun. So, it's, like, it's just cool that they're still finding ways to, like, innovate the Pac-Man formula.
For sure.
Yes.
All right. Now?
Okay. Yes.
All right. Rift came out, as we were talking about before. You know, you're not a Nazroth anymore, apparently. Fight Night Champion for 360 PS3, which is, like, I guess it's got a big emphasis on, like, a story mode of some sort.
Well, the big deal, too, is that it's rated M.
Oh. It's kind of suck to make a sports game based off of a not very popular sport.
I feel like Fight Night got popular because it was one of those early 360 games.
Good.
It was like, yeah, and it was like the first one to have a big demo come out, and yeah, it's like, oh my god, it looks real, and like so people seem to care. But I think like people bought the game, they're like, I don't like boxing,
right? Warhammer 40,000, Dawn of War 2, Retributions, expansion, Call of Duty Black Ops for Strike, map pack, Pixel Junk Shooter 2 came out.
Yep.
Beyond Good and Evil HD. Dead Space 2 Severed. A lot of DLC. Mm-hmm. Fate of the World for PC. Global strategy game. Rango, the video game for Wii, PS3, 360. You know, obligatory. Although it got a 7 on GameSpot, so I guess it's not absolutely terrible.
Yeah.
Fable 3, Traitor's Keep Quest Pack. Da-da-da. And that's it. Next week is exciting. That's when we're getting, like, shit.
We are... And next week, we are going to PAX.
Yeah, what are we going to do for the show?
I'll have the recorder again. There will be some people we know there. If you're going to PAX, come find us. We'll hang out.
Yeah, for sure. Hopefully we'll.
You might be on the podcast. And we don't. I don't know yet what the exact podcast schedule will be next week, so just, you know.
If you follow us on Twitter, we'll keep you updated.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
We'll let you know.
Well, speaking of that.
But yeah, it's going to be freaking sweet. I'm so excited.
Well, thank you for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast, everybody. You can find more of us, as we were talking about, on Twitter at twitter.com/explodingbarrel and on our website at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com. You can find us on the iTunes Music Store and the Zoom Marketplace. I guess that's it. We'll see you guys from PAX next time, hopefully.
Yep.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast.